We've been asked for a very long time to consider doing book reviews. And some of the folks on our social media sites have heard me refer to the books I've read. And on Facebook, I've done some text book reviews. And we're going to try it. I'm going to try not to ramble on for a long time. We're going to try to make these short and sweet, but give you an idea of some good books and warn you about some bad books. And some books are not good in the sense that they're not something we want to get out there far and wide, but they're good resources for research. So you're going to see a little bit of everything when it comes to this book review ministry that we're going to begin. And I'm going to start with the first book outside of the Bible that I read as a Christian. And to be honest, it's the first book that is an adult level that I ever read. I went through school and didn't read in high school. I didn't read any of the adult level books that we were supposed to read. I was not saved. And I either cheated my way through or I just didn't try. And I passed with D's in some of my classes. And of course, those who despise me will say, well, that doesn't surprise me. You know, that I graduated in the lower percentage of my class. I think there was 125 students, and I was in the bottom 25. There were 100 above me, at least. And it's just because I was unhappy, I was unsaved. And I'll give you a little testimony as we begin this, that after graduating from high school and still living like a fool for a number of months, I had Christians sharing the gospel, witnessing to me, some who thought I was a backslidden Christian because I'd made a child profession at the age of 5. And I just honestly, I know I didn't understand the gospel. I didn't know what I was doing. And I was baptized. And as a young man, all the way up through high school, I was not a believer. And I would argue with Christians against Christianity. I was pro-evolution and all that stuff. But about the age of 18, the Lord sent a lot of people my way. And I was working a job where I had to sober up a lot more often. And so I could hear and see things around me with a little more clarity. And I was challenged to read the Bible. I was challenged to read, begin right at the beginning and start reading through. But I was also challenged to read the book of John and the book of 1 John. And so I did. And as I read the Word of God and kind of put it to the test, I started to see that evolution is just a bunch of nonsense. And if any of you are pro-evolutionists and you're watching this and you want to defend that fairy tale for grown-ups, it's just nonsense. And there's no legitimacy to it at all scientifically. You just have a whole lot of godless people who don't want to believe God created the heaven and the earth and that God created every living thing that you see around you. That's the only reason evolution as a theory exists. Darwin was a godless, a God-hater who was miserable. He was a victim of his family were into incest, and that's why he was sick. That's why his daughter was sick and died. They were incestuous because of their evolutionary theories. Darwin didn't come up with the theory of evolution. It's been here since the pagans developed these theories, probably coming off right after Noah and his family come off the boat, and Ham and Shem and Japheth started having offspring. The godless ones started these theories, and it came down through the philosophers. You'll find it in the Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, and all those. And so anyway, I became convicted of the fact that there is a God. I then became convicted of the fact about the same time that God created all things. Now, I wasn't a six-day creationist at the time. I didn't understand that debate. But I just understood design requires a designer. Intelligence cannot be produced by nothing. and by inanimate nothingness and lifeless inanimate objects and so forth. So I won't go into all that, but I went through several months actually of reading, researching about creation, evolution. I also, though, got into a lot of New Age stuff. It wasn't called New Age, but that's what it was. It was occultic. It was non-biblical. It was Eastern mystic nonsense. And as I began studying the Bible, I thought, well, I'll look at all the religions. So I read the Book of Mormon. Boring as all get out. But I didn't finish reading the Book of Mormon until after I read this book I'm getting ready to introduce. But I read the Bhagavad Gitas. I read the Book of Mormon. I read the portions that I was told by a Mormon that I should read. And the Bhagavad Gitas is a small paperback that I had. And I read works by those presenting Islam. I never read the whole Quran, but I read those portions that Muslims encouraged me to read, and so forth. And it just became obvious there's no book like the Bible. Those other books are not holy books. They're shot full of holes, but they're not holy books. The Book of Mormon is total fiction. The Quran is nothing but drivel from a false prophet. The Bhagavad Gita was probably written by people who were on hallucinogens and in an altered state of mind. And under all these books, all of them, were presented by demons, by devils. And so I became convinced of the truthfulness of the Bible, the historical reality of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I understood that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I looked at myself and I saw myself as a wicked sinner who had been in rebellion and unbelief. And I looked at my sins and I saw that I deserved hell. I was a liar. I was a fornicator. I was a blasphemer, a drunk, a lot of binge drinking and pot smoking, and so forth. And I was repentant of all those sins. And I was repentant of what I was, everything I stood for, everything I believed. And I repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for my sins, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And yes, I actually read those scriptures before being saved and believed those scriptures. And I believed that gospel message, repenting of my sins, turning toward God, believing the gospel. I was saved. I wasn't saved at a church. I wasn't saved after hearing a sermon, although I'd heard many by that time. I was saved at work around 2 a.m. In a Masonic building. And I tell that because it's just the truth. I wasn't a Mason, and I wasn't hanging out with Masons, but I worked for an employer who rented, I think it was the third or fourth floor, in a Masonic building in Portsmouth, Ohio. And in that building, while I was working for a telephone answering service, but way back before there were cell phones and all that, this is 1989, and I'd flick the little switch, and I'd take messages and all that. Well, it was the middle of the night, and I'd have hours at a time where I wouldn't get any calls. And I would just read my Bible and pray. And at some point, one morning, and I've tried to pinpoint the exact day. I wrote it down as January 17th, 1989. But I'm not even 100% sure of the exact day, but I just remember the day. I remember the night. It was early morning, 2 a.m. And I believed the gospel and just began thanking the Lord for saving me, and thanking Him for forgiving me, thanking Him for His shed blood on the cross, thanking Him for revealing the truth of the power of His resurrection. And so, that only took me 10 minutes to tell you as an introduction to, once I became a Christian, I of course identified with a local Bible-believing church, or at least they had a statement of faith of such, was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and began discipleship. And I was reading the Bible, and because of my background, because I'd really been intrigued by the New Age, what I wouldn't have called it that at the time. I was intrigued by the occult. I was intrigued by spirits and ghost stories and my music. Even after I got saved, I still would listen to some of this music, and it was something in my spirit said, this ain't right, but it was very dark. So I wanted answers. What's right, what's wrong? And I'd go to the scripture, but then I went to the Christian bookstore, and I can't remember what it was called now. It was in downtown Portsmouth, Ohio. And somebody may watch this and remember what that was called. It closed a few years later. Glad Tidings, I think, may have been what it was called. And I walked in, and I saw this book. And it was Dark Secrets of the New Age by Tex Mars. I didn't know who Tex Mars was, but I asked a couple people there, and they recommended the book and definitely said I should read about the New Age movement when I gave them my testimony. And so I brought this home and devoured this book. And I have to tell you, great book. I do not recommend Tex Mars, but this book was a great book, and God used this book. God used this book to open my eyes to the occult infusion into evangelical Christianity. And there's so much that I could go into about this book, and I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you that if you read it, there's a lot of great information. But I have since found that Constance Cumby has accused Tex Mars of basically plagiarizing her book called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And she makes a good case. So if you buy this book, I ask you not to buy it from Tex Mars and make him more money on it. But if you do see a copy of this book and you buy it from a thrift store, eBay, or wherever, it's money well spent. But keep in mind, there's a good case made that portions of it, not the whole thing, but portions of it was plagiarized from Constance Cumby. So if you find Constance Cumby's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and you got a choice between the two and the price is comparable, go with The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. But I want to spend a few minutes just sharing some of the information in this because it was life-changing for me. Jesus Christ saved me and set me free, and then this book opened my eyes in a way that few books I've ever read really did for me. And if Constance Cumby deserves some of the credit, I've already given it to her. But I started reading this book, and I was shocked because I saw how I had been influenced as an unbeliever through school, through my textbooks, through friends, through the media, through the entertainment media, through cartoons, through movies, through my music, all this influence of occultism. And it was even brought into my local church that my family attended, and I was basically forced to attend as a kid in Awana clubs and Word of Life clubs and all that. But there was a lot of stuff that would be brought in by the kids. Now, to their credit, I never remember the pastor or youth pastors endorsing any of that. But the kids would bring it in. And when the parents or the youth leaders or the pastors weren't around, this stuff would be brought in. I remember the Ouija boards. I remember the tarot cards. I remember the palm reading going on. I remember the astrological charts and all that. I got introduced to that stuff among my church friends and a few others that went to my same school who were also in professing evangelical churches. I'll just throw this in there. The first time I ever laid eyes on pornography, and this, again, is no reflection on the people who run it, but it was at a church camp, and I'm not going to name the church camp because wasn't their fault. But some kid whose parents were a member of a Bible church, some kid brought in porn to the church camp. And while I was at church camp, my poor parents thinking, oh, this is going to be a wonderful experience and all this. And it was my first exposure to that. So the New Age, pornography, all that stuff, Satan is bringing that in through the churches, through people in the churches. And not necessarily because of the pastor or the leaders. But in some cases, they contribute. But let's get into the book. I read this book, and I read quotes like this one. This was in his preface or his introduction. New Age leaders know that only if they're able to undermine credibility in the Bible, discredit Jesus Christ, and weaken the example of Christian churches, can they succeed in their ultimate objective, the ascension to power of a New Age Messiah, the Antichrist, and the establishment of a one world order. End quote. Now, I hadn't heard that exact terminology, but I remembered the conversations. We would be sitting around drinking or smoking pot or whatever with my friends and with their parents, and this would be the attitude. We needed a world leader, a world government. They were already saying what Obama, our treasonous president, was saying when he got elected by the fools in this country, when he said, I'm not a patriot, or I'm not an American first, I'm a global citizen first. And that was the kind of thing that in the mid to late 80s I was hearing. Not among everybody, but and some of the people I was hanging out with. He goes on to say, in fact, the only thing that stands between Satan and the successful implementation of this horrible, lawless plan for humanity is you and millions of other determined Christians throughout the world. Now, this is one point that I've since come to totally disagree with Mars on. And he presents in the book that it's us Christians taking a stand and we're going to stop this. If we want to, we can. And I don't believe that. What I believe is it's all in God's timing. And the reason the New Age movement has failed to bring forth a world Messiah is because it's not God's timing yet. When it's God's time, it'll be done. And they're going to continue to fail. I think they wanted that with Obama and still do. It's not going to succeed. And personally, if you know me, you've listened to me teach, I still believe that the old preachers had it right. That the Pope is Antichrist, and the final Pope will be the Antichrist. And the Roman Catholic Vatican City State government will usurp power and authority over the world government after the rapture. The usurpation could happen to some extent before, but I believe it's going to happen right after the rapture. And I'm not going to go into all that, but I just want to emphasize that. Another thing is that in this book, Tex Mars would frequently make reference to this New Age movement as though it is Mystery Babylon. And I believe he's wrong. At the time, I didn't know. Didn't have any idea, but it was good information because the Roman Catholic Church is New Age. The Roman Catholic Church is an occult cult. It is a cult, and it is filled with occultism. It is filled with paganism, pagan idolatry. Its priesthood is the old Babylonian, Chaldean mystery religion from Nimrod through the Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar, and then after Babylon and Medo-Persia came to power. Sometime after that, empire was sacked, and the priesthood relocated to Pergamos and held there in Pergamos till sometime before Christ, when the priesthood transferred to the Caesar of Rome, and the Caesar of Rome was recognized as the head of the Babylonian priesthood as Pontifex Maximus. That then transferred, and you can debate whether it was through Constantine or one of the later bishops of Rome, but I believe it came through Constantine. The Council of Nicaea was the establishment of the Roman holy, unholy empire, and that priesthood. Constantine stood as Pontifex Maximus over the churches at the Council of Nicaea, and then sometime later, the Bishop of Rome adopted that title and assumed that role as head of the Babylonian priesthood, and that is what we have today, which is called the Roman Catholic Church. So when you read these books about the New Age movement, you have to put the puzzle together biblically, because a lot of times the authors failed to do so, and Tex Mars failed to do so in Dark Secrets of the New Age. But with that said, I still say this thing's loaded with great information. Here's a quote from a lady, Lola Davis, toward a world religion for the New Age. Quote, a world religion for the New Age is needed to meet the needs of thinking people and to unify mankind. Now, as a new believer, my mouth was just wide open reading this book, because so much of what, the Beatles and John Lennon, the Beatles saying, all we need is love. And that's an anthem against Christian love and for this pseudo-love. Yeah, John Lennon, imagine there's no heaven, no hell below us. Imagine all the people living life in vain. And then he says, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Maybe someday you will join us and the world will be as one. The whole Imagine song by John Lennon is a New Age world order anthem. And then we are the world, where all these top performing artists of the 80s got together and sang. And then here it is, this is being recorded November 24th, 2015, and you can go Google where the NATO leaders were, it looked like they were half drunk, if not completely inebriated, and they're all sitting around singing that song, We Are the World. You know, it's just amazing. And so I read this book back in 1990, or it might have been late 1989, whenever it was. And I recognized a lot of these names. Of course, John Denver, the musician, astronaut Edgar Mitchell, Theodore Hesburgh, Isaac Asimov, Shirley MacLaine. I think it was about that time that she came out with her New Age movie, Out on a Broken Limb, or whatever it was called. And so this is all right before me, our eyes going on. And it says, the clarion call of the New Age to other religions is, come, let us be one. And so as a new Christian, I'm thinking, you know, it's Christian music. So people would invite me to these CCM concerts. And I'd go, and that's what they were preaching. They would be telling all these Christians, it doesn't matter what you call yourself, we're all one big happy family. If you're a Catholic, or you're a Lutheran, you're a Presbyterian, you're a Pentecostal, you're a Baptist, or you're a non-denominational, it doesn't matter what you call yourself. And sometimes they'd even say, even if you're a Jew and you're here, we're all brothers and sisters. And I'd hear these Christians saying, all the great world religions of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity are all Abrahamic religions who worship the one true God. I knew better. But, you know, Islam will kill you for not worshiping Allah. They don't believe that Jehovah and Jesus Christ are the same God they worship. And so they cut your head off for preaching that if you go preach it over in their countries. But here it is, United States of America, and this one world religion, this whole New Age thing. And again, they're missing it when they don't relate the New Age movement to the Roman Catholic Church. But with that said, we continue to read, worshippers of separate faiths and denominations are to be unified in a common purpose, the glorification of man. And there you go, Self magazine, self-esteem, and you read in the Bible, in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And you had the Robert Schuller nonsense of teaching people that you had to learn to love yourself before you can love anyone, and preaching self-love and all that. It was all right there happening at the time I got saved, and this book helped me bring it all together. And there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of good information we don't have time to cover, but he goes through a 13-point plan. He called the master plan, and point number one, this is on page 6 of the book. The principal aim of the plan is to establish a one-world New Age religion and a one-world political and social order. Point number two, the New Age world religion will be a revival of the idolatrous religion of ancient Babylon, Roman Catholicism, and of course all their harlot offspring, in which mystery cults, sorcery and occultism and immorality flourished. And of course, you see that all in the Roman Catholicism and the ecumenical movement that's headed up by the Pope. Point number three, the plan is to come to fullness when the New Age Messiah, the Antichrist with the number 666, comes in the flesh to lead the unified New Age world religion and oversee the new one world order. He's got the right idea, but he's got it wrong. It will be the final Pope in his New Age cult called Roman Catholicism, heading up the government called the Vatican City State, who will remove three kings and sit as the eighth king over the remaining seven, as Scripture says, and so forth. But here, point number four, spirit guides, demons, will help man inaugurate the New Age and will pave the way for the Antichrist, the New Age man-god, to be acclaimed by humanity as the great world teacher. That is happening. And Christians, both Catholic and Protestant and Pentecostal Charismatic and Apostate Baptist and non-denominational, they're joining right with the Mormons and the Buddhists and the Hindus and all these other groups in yoga and in reaching an altered state of mind most of the time through natural means and not using drugs, but some of them are using drugs and alcohol for the same purpose. They're all listening to voices in their heads rather than submitting to the authority of the Word of God. And for English-speaking people, that's the King James Bible. And when you use a new Bible, new versions like the English Standard Version, that's nothing but the occultic, apostate, revised standard version of 1954, edited and repackaged for suckers. And those, the NIV with its lesbian Virginia Mellencott and homosexual Harold Woodstra and all these homos and occultists and apostates involved in the translation of that, and then they take, now they've got a gender neutral version of that corrupt Bible. All this stuff, man, is happening in fulfillment of this plan, point number four, where the spirit guides, the devils, are the informants and the master teachers of the leaders of world religion. And you can, we can continue on reading these points. There's 13 total. We don't have time for all of them. And we're only into page 18 or 19, and I'll quote a couple more things. In the early 90s, they really felt like this was all going to come together. God keeps putting the hammer down, and it's not going to happen until it's His time. But there's this these quotes that go all the way back to 1931, Mishu Sama. Quote, during this transitional period, those with negative vibrations will be removed from the earth in an earth-shaking purification process. Now, what Tex Myers doesn't have enough sense to realize, he didn't in this book and he doesn't today, is that that is true, but they pervert it, and they say that it's going to be the negative forces removed. Well, yes, I guess I'll take that. We're negative because we preach against sin. We preach a gospel of repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So you're going to call that negative? Fine. We will be removed before this Antichrist Messiah assumes His role as the head of the world government. The rapture will take place before all that happens. And a lot of Christians don't have enough sense to see the handwriting on the wall. The book says so, and even Satan's people are boasting about the rapture taking place. They're looking forward to it because they're so twisted and perverted. Another quote from Lola Davis in her book, Toward a World Religion of the New Age. Quote, an increasing number of people are either consciously or unconsciously preparing mankind for a world religion that's compatible with the New Age. And we're going to have to stop there. We're running out of time. And don't want these to go over 30 minutes. But folks, just open your eyes. That's exactly what's happening. The Pope is bringing everybody together. And I believe that it's very likely that the Gog-Magog War of Ezekiel 38 will take place sometime either right before or right after the rapture. That will hamstring the Islamists around the world, and they will then submit to this world order under the Pope, as most, 5 out of 6 of those fighting against Israel will be destroyed in the Gog-Magog War. That means almost all the radicals are gone now, and what you have left is this Sufi type of Islam, which will come into the New World Order and willingly allow the Pope to head it up. So that's all the time we have, and that's my first review. I hope you like this. I'm trying to keep it as organized as possible in my comments and everything. But I do recommend the book if you can buy it used. And I give this book actually a 3 out of 5. Would have gave it 4 out of 5, but since some of it seems to have been plagiarized, I'd give it a 3 out of 5.